Would you open the copies of the Bible, please, this evening to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The first letter to the church at Corinth, reading from the 15th chapter. We'll commence our reading this evening from verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Please hear the word of God attentively. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, that is Peter, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep, that have passed away. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. Amen. And we trust the Lord will bless the public reading of his word to every heart this evening. Let's just briefly pray together. Let's pray, asking for the Lord's help and blessing. Our Lord God, we give thee thanks and praise for all thy blessings and help this evening, given to the young people of the congregation, those people in the Sabbath school. We thank thee for the great blessing that they have been. We thank thee for the words of truth that we've heard being recited and sung. And Lord, we now come to the preaching of the word of God, and we need thy help. We need thy help, and we need the work of the Spirit in every one of us to hear the word. Lord, open our ears. Help us to hear and help us to understand and make us wise unto salvation. Lord, give us that faith that we need, that we don't have, but we need it. Wilt thou give it, O God? Wilt thou give me the Holy Ghost that I may preach thy word with power? I pray, Lord, that Jesus Christ will be lifted up before everyone here this evening. And Lord, that thou wilt scatter the gifts of faith and repentance and new life to the glory of the name of Jesus. We pray it in his name only. Amen. Amen. There are days, times past when there was no television. You might find that hard to believe. There was no internet. Even times further back, there was no newspapers. So how did the people of the various villages and towns get the important business, get the important news? Well, many places had somebody called the town crier. And you may have seen somebody do this. Many towns, every now and again, just for a special occasion, they'll dress someone up in the clothes of a town crier, and he'll come and he will come to the town square, for example. He'll come to a public place, and he'll announce the news. And often he would begin with a strange cry, which sounds strange in our ears. Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes, or something of that ilk. And then he'd start giving the news, whatever it would be. Maybe there was a change of government. Maybe there was a new law that had been passed. Maybe a son or daughter had been born to the king and queen. And so that's how the news was heralded in the olden times. And the town crier, he would declare good news. And he would declare bad news. And you know, a preacher, who preaches, also preaches and heralds good news and bad news. And that's what Paul says at the beginning of chapter 15 that we were reading. He says, I declare unto you the gospel. And he declares something very important. That is good news. He says also here that he preached the gospel which had also saved him. Because a man who preaches the word of God, he has to be saved himself. So the word that he has received, he then heralds, he then shares, he preaches to other people. Why? So that others would also be saved. And this morning we considered together the need for us to know the scriptures. Remember we read that from the letter, the second letter to Timothy, that we should know the scriptures, that Timothy had known the scriptures, and they can make us wise unto salvation by faith in Christ. And the scriptures make us wise so that we want to be saved and show us that we can be saved. And that's the important thing that we get from the preaching of the gospel. What is the gospel? We talk about the gospel, and it's a very strange word. Do you know what the gospel means? Well, it's made up of two very old English words. The word God, which means good, and the word spell, which means a message or news. And so gospel is just old English for good news. Good news. And there is good news. There's bad news. But thank God there is good news. And with God's help this evening, I'd like us to briefly look at the very center, the very heart of this good news, of this gospel together. And we read about that in verse 3 and verse 4. We read that together. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Again, according to the scriptures, according to the scriptures, the holy scriptures we were thinking about this morning. And so with the Lord's help, we look at the heart of the gospel. And that is those three things: death, burial, and resurrection. Death, burial, and resurrection. So firstly, let us see what Paul says is Christ died for our sins. He died for our sins. How did Christ die? On a cross. On a wooden cross. He suffered and died on a wooden cross. He died a death as the worst and lowest criminal in the whole of the Roman Empire. The worst of criminals, the lowest of people in society, were hung on a wooden cross by the Romans and killed and suffering a horrible death. But why was it on a cross? Have you ever thought? Ever asked yourself why? Because it had to be a public death. He had to die publicly. People could see him hanging on the cross, see him in pain. Why? Because it had to be a shameful death. It had to be a shameful sacrifice. And it would be. There, practically naked, only a loincloth, hanging in front of all these people, mocking and shouting. You'd be shamed. But the question is, why did he do it? Why did Christ do that? Why did Christ not only allow himself to do it, but he literally walked to the cross? He walked all the way from the northernmost part of Israel, even out of Israel in the north. He walked all the way to Jerusalem. And once he'd been arrested and been given the cross, he walked with that cross. Why did he do it? To pay for sin with his life. To pay with his very own life. Not with a wallet full of money, because money's not good enough. Not with anything he had, but with his very self. With his own life. But not for his own sin. Because the Lord Jesus Christ has no sin. And he had no sin. So he didn't die for his own sin. And he didn't need to die. He chose to die. Upon that cross. A shameful death. As the worst criminal in the Roman Empire. Why? Because we sinners have no way of paying for our own sin. No way. We have nothing. We really do have nothing to pay for sin. Punishment is not payment. We will get punishment for sin, but it is not payment for sin. And so God, looking down upon his creation, he sees that we are poor towards him, that we have nothing to give him for our sin. And so he gives his son as payment for sin. You know, sin and death are our greatest enemies. Ultimately, they are our greatest enemies, because our sin leads to our death. That's why we die. If you look at a graveyard, that graveyard says all these people here were sinners. And here's the proof that they're dead. And we're all sinners. And what's the proof? We shall all die. But your sins must be paid for if your sins are to be forgiven. But we have nothing to pay for them. But someone must die. The law of God teaches this. It says, for without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness for sin. Only the payment of blood, of life, is an accepted payment for sin. And the Bible teaches this in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. The Bible cannot be clearer. You know, just before breathing out his very last breath on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ said two words, three words in English. He says, it is finished. Something was finished on the cross. What was life? Yes. But he wasn't dead at that moment. He then commended his spirit unto the Lord. But a work was finished. Christ's actual death proves not that he was a sinner, as in our case, but it proved that he'd paid for every sin of his people. Every single sin had been paid for. But hey, I wasn't born yet. Every single of my sins had been paid for of his people. Every sin. We see Christ died for our sins. But Paul carries on in verse 4 and he says, and that he was buried. And that he was buried. And what this part of the gospel means is that Jesus Christ died a real death. He didn't faint. He didn't feel very ill. They didn't take him off the cross and revive him in some way. He was dead as dead can be. His body and his soul suffered so much in those 6 hours on the cross. So much that he was dead before the Romans even expected him to die. They expected him to hang around for maybe 12 hours or 24 hours. Slowly, his life ebbing away, but no, he was dead. And just to make sure he was really dead, a Roman officer came with a spear. And he stabbed it into the side of his body. And his dead body did not move. But water and blood flowed forth out of that gash in his side. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. There's forgiveness in the cross work and the death of Jesus Christ. And to complete the shame, the God-man, taken from the cross, he was buried in a grave, just as if he was a dead sinner. Just to complete that shame. But Christ was buried, why? To fully enter into death. He must completely die. He died. He was buried. And thirdly, he rose again. He really came back to life, that means. This dead body was in the grave Friday night. The stone was rolled in front of the tomb and it was quiet. The whole of Saturday and it was quiet. And then Sunday morning, very, very early in Sunday morning, this dead corpse, this dead body of Jesus Christ came alive. There was life in him. He rose from the dead. You see, Jesus Christ had battled sin on the cross. And he had conquered death in the tomb. You know, Jesus went for our greatest enemies. He went for sin and he went for death. And he conquered them both for his people. for his very own. For those who put their trust in him, we are then his. And that victory of his over sin and death becomes our victory over sin and death. And we call that being saved. That we're saved because of him. But why did Jesus and why could Jesus rise from the dead? Have you asked yourself why? It's because he had fully paid the price of our sin. And his rising from the dead shows that God says that payment has been accepted. Accepted. But he also rose from the sin. He also rose from the grave, sorry. He rose from the grave because it wasn't his own sin. He paid for our sin, for the sin of his people. But he himself had no sin, and therefore death had no claim on him. Death couldn't hold him in the grave. The power of death was defeated in Jesus Christ. His payment was accepted and the power of death over us was defeated. That's why he rose from the grave. That's what I call good news. And that's what the Bible calls the gospel. Jesus died. Jesus was buried. And Jesus rose again. And as we close now, see with me the beginning of verse 2, as he talks about the effect of the gospel, he says, by which also ye are saved. Because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about being saved, whether you're young, not so young, or very old. This is the same gospel. This payment for sin and this defeat of death, this good news for your body and soul can be yours. Can be yours. How? How? You get it by faith. By which also ye are saved. How? By believing the gospel. By trusting Jesus Christ. You must believe this historical fact that we've just been going through. 2,000 years ago, that this Jesus of Nazareth, he was treated as a criminal and he hung upon that Roman cross as the worst of criminals and he died. And he was buried. And he rose again. But you almost must also believe it, that it becomes a personal truth. Many people hold it as an historical truth, and they accept it, and they accept it in their head, but they haven't accepted him in their heart. It must become a personal truth. He must become a personal truth to you. That Jesus died for your sins, that he was buried to free you from death, and that he rose again to make you right with God. And what do you have to do? Nothing. Jesus has done it all. All. We had nothing and we could do nothing. But he who has all and did all, we come to him. That's what we need to do. We need to come to him and we must embrace Jesus Christ. We must, as it were, take hold of Jesus Christ as he's preached to us in the gospel. But can I say something to you? How can you embrace Jesus Christ if your own arms are laden down with sin and selfishness and godlessness? How can you? How can you embrace him when you're holding on to your sin? But you can't. So let go of the sin. Drop your sin. Turn from your sin. Repent of your sin. And then embrace Jesus Christ. Lay hold on him who has paid for the sins of those who take hold of him. Who trust him, who embrace him, trust his work and trust his person by which ye also are saved. I trust young girl, young boy, teenager, man, woman, that you've now understood something of the simplicity of the gospel. Christ died, Christ was buried, and Christ rose again. He's paid for sin. He's conquered death. Now believe, for God's sake and for your soul's sake, in him. May God bless his word to us all this evening. Amen.
Would you unite our hearts together, please, in a word of prayer? Boys and girls, it is our heart's desire and prayer that you will be saved. That is what the prayer of your teacher, Sunday school teacher, is. Thank God for many of you have sought the Lord. And you know, we're not looking for a mere profession. It's possessing Christ. It's taking him as your Lord and as your Savior, accepting the gospel. Same for adults. Many adults have a profession, but that's it. Don't possess Christ, not saved. And I pray the Lord will write his word afresh in your heart as well. Boys and girls, we're here afterwards if you want to speak to us, your teacher as well. You cannot be saved tonight. You ask the Lord into your heart to take away your sin, set you free from it, and be saved. Lord, we thank thee for thy presence with us. Thank the Lord for helping tonight again. And we praise the Lord for these verses we've been considering. And we praise thee tonight that the Savior has paid it all. And he's alive. And he's in heaven. And he's still able to save boys and girls and moms and dads. Lord, thou knowest every heart. Thou knowest, Lord, we can put on a good show. Many a mom and dad can put on a good show. But Lord, thou knowest the heart where they stand with thee. Lord, we pray for possession. Possessing Christ as Savior. And we'd ask, Lord, that thou would speak on. The preacher's voice is silent. And Lord, thou would do that work of grace in hearts tonight for thy glory's sake. Part us with thy fear and thy blessing. Accept of our thanks for a good day. Lord, may the best yet to be. For we ask these things in our Savior's name and for God's eternal glory. Amen.